Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Want to shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin a member of their great staff. Call today. They're wonderful, wonderful people that make a tough, the worst situation, at least manageable. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Drew Kreisman, our Colorado Rockies insider. Drew, 37-48. Every time I think this team's about to completely unravel, they are home for like eight games in a row, and then they do pretty good. But you got to admire it. This team's finding a way to survive, at least.
Why not? Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, though, does it?
Every time you think you're out, they pull you right back.
That's right. What's happening here? I mean, is this where you thought they'd be July 6th when the world was ending, when Nolan Arenado was traded? Right. Did you think they'd be 11 games, just 11 games, under 500?
Well, the funny thing is, I actually had them on. I was about to pick them to win 75 games for the season, even after the Nolan trade, and people are like, already, this is 100 lost. You know, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Seen these guys pitch? No, they're not. Come on, pay attention to the important parts of baseball. I know he's a superstar, but he hits four times a game, and the ball might get hit his direction. He's never pitched a Major League Baseball game in his life. I get it.
Great point. Yep.
They didn't lose 15 games off of their record because of one ball player. That's just not how baseball works. But then in spring training, in the span of like two or three days, Scott Oberg went down for the entire season, and Kyle Freeland got hurt for what we knew was going to be a month longer. And my 75-win prediction became a 70-win prediction. And lo and behold, that's more or less what they're on pace to do right now. Now, in a very strange way, because people have corrected me on this by saying, well, actually, Drew, they've played more home games than road games to this point, and they're so great at home and so terrible on the road, and if they continue to be that way, they're still going to get close to losing 100 ball games. But it's like, yeah, but that's also not how baseball works. They're not also going to continue to be as terrible on the road. They'll probably not continue to be quite as good at home either. But one of those things is a bit more sustainable than the other. When you're on a historic pace to be that bad on the road, they got three games coming up against the Diamondbacks, who are not a good baseball team, and they've got a bit more momentum. It's also a young team. And I said this at the beginning of the year. You can go back and listen to the DNVR Rockies podcast from when the season. Most of these guys, it's their first time being regular, everyday, 162-game starters at the big league level. It takes some getting used to. It's just the sport where there's the biggest development and change in that level. And so I'm not at all surprised to see that players like Brendan Rodgers and Raimel Tapia and Garrett Hampson and Jonathan Daza, who's come along, and some of these other guys, or Elias Diaz, who it's been his first year as a starter. Yeah, he was bad early on. He's never dealt with the Coors hangover before. He's never been a regular starter before. He's also got to catch every game and worry about all that stuff. So that it took 2 months for his bat to show up shouldn't be a total shock. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I also don't think they're about to go on a big run here and get themselves back into it. But you never know. Momentum's a crazy thing in baseball.
It really is. And, you know, like I said, I'm giving it a few weeks before I go too crazy here. But there's hope around this team. And it felt good. I'm sorry. I know Rockies fans are still in love with Nolan. And there are Rockies fans out there like, I haven't watched a game since they got rid of one player. It's like, man, if that's how you're watching your sports, you're going to be in trouble 98% of the time, because not everybody's Todd Helton and, you know, all these guys that retire as a Rocky or a Nugget or a Bronco or an Av. But it did feel kind of good beating the Cardinals in a four-game series, and the fact that the Cardinals are only, like, what, three or four games better than the Rockies right now. Sorry, but that feels kind of good to me.
It has to. I saw people trying to turn this into something more negative than it really is, but I'm sorry, when a guy demands a trade, and people have all said he had every right to do, and I don't necessarily disagree. He didn't think he was going to win a ring here, and neither do most other people. And so he went somewhere where he thought he was going to win a ring. But then you go, well, how much closer did you get? You know, and some people can see it that way, and some people can be like, hey, you know what? Troy Tulowitzki was mad when he got traded. He didn't want to leave the Rockies, despite the fact that he left a last-place team to go immediately to a Toronto Blue Jays team that came very close to going to the World Series. But Tulo didn't want out. John Gray's not sending video of himself to the St. Louis Cardinals either. So it's like,
right,
you don't have to hate Nolan, and I certainly don't, and I will wish him nothing but the best. He's going to have a surefire Hall of Fame career. Best player I've ever watched personally, and it was a privilege to cover him every single day, and was always remarkably kind to me. But yeah, I mean, if you're in the Rockies community, of course you hope the Rockies win a World Series before he does, when you're just flat out told, no, you're not good enough, I'm going somewhere that is good enough. And then you read in the paper in St. Louis, oh man, the Cardinals are in fourth place and Nolan might have an opt-out, and what's going to happen? It's like, huh.
Been there before, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the interesting thing about that with the Cardinals. And again, it can all, grass is always greener, and I get it. I'm not trying to like make it all look like it's been puppies and rainbows for the Rockies as an organization. But, you know, when a player demands a trade and sends video well before, yeah, it bothers me a little bit more than just, oh, the organization was awful to me. And it wasn't really that case. So my question for you, Drew, is you look at this team, they're finding ways to win, 31-17 at home. What do the Rockies do at the trade deadline? I saw you guys tweeted a while back, about an hour ago, there's rumors about Marquez. There's obviously the Trevor Story, the John Gray stuff. We've been talking about that for quite some time. Are the Rockies going to move on from any key major pieces before that deadline hits?
At this point, my take on it is that I believe they will trade Trevor Story.
Mm.
I don't believe that they will trade any of their starting pitching. I also think they'll move on from several veteran guys who are like on, like CJ Cron, Michael Givens, maybe a Daniel Bard, though he does have one more year on his contract and may not get them, you know, may not move the needle that much. He's had his struggles this year, but Story, I do think, will get traded after the All-Star game, as they've said. It's one of those things when someone gives you a qualifier, when that news came out and there's like, the Rockies say they're not going to trade Trevor Story before the All-Star break, and my Twitter feed broke out with people just saying, oh my God, look how stupid they are. These guys aren't going to trade him. They're going to be so stupid. Everybody, and my take on it was like, before the All-Star break. Well, that means that like, you just clarified this so they're going to trade him, just not before the All-Star break.
Right.
You wouldn't have put that qualifier in there. And some other things that have come out, and even just like pay attention to the way that like the guys on TV and the guys on radio who worked very closely with the team and like have lunch with the front office people, once they're openly talking about teams that are interested in trading for guys like Trevor Story. Yeah, I think there's a decent chance. That's the right move. It's going to be tough for fans after Nolan, but it's the right thing to do. But holding on to the pitching, I think, is also the right thing to do. I think that's what you have to build your future around, is this crop of starting pitchers who've been very, very good.
Perhaps the best in history, right, for the Ryan. I know that's not hard to beat, but it's
bar wasn't real high. But yeah.
Bar wasn't real high, but we've always said it for years. Can you find a consistent group, not just a one person, a consistent group of pitchers that can do it consistently in Colorado? And apparently the answer is yes, and they're doing it at almost the highest level. So we've said it for years, Drew, and I think hopefully most people agree. You can have all the Nolan Arenados and Trevor Stories you want. If you don't have solid starting pitching for the most part, and the bullpen, we'll talk about that, but you're not going to do anything in this league. And the Rockies have learned that the hard way. The Blake Street Bombers, the Nolan Arenado, the Troy Tulowitzkis. I mean, we've had it. But what has it done? Five playoff appearances. So now's the time to do something completely different. If it doesn't work this way, then you go back to the way it wasn't working before, right?
Sure, then try that. But you've got these guys now. Whenever I hear people talk about, and Bud Black basically came out today and put in some of Marquez stuff, it doesn't make sense. Herman Marquez is still 26, 27 years old. He's still got several years left on his contract. And while you might be able to get a bunch of great prospects for him, all you're doing is hoping that one of those prospects turns into Herman Marquez, who you already have on your baseball
team.
Right. It's slightly different with John Gray because he's expiring, but he's expressed publicly, again, going back to what do fans value, not value. John Gray said, I want to be here. Remember, he pitches.
Yeah.
And he could get more money probably to go somewhere else and get more attention and get better numbers and all that stuff, but he likes it here. And if you can keep this group together and not have to ponder how you're possibly going to get starting pitching in a couple of years, that just means that whoever's the next GM doesn't have the most difficult task in the history of the Colorado Rockies to think about. He does have the second one, which is figuring out what to do in the bullpen, which is an absolute disaster right now.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But you've at least taken that starting rotation. You can run with Gray, Marquez, Freeland, Senzatella, Austin, Gomber, and then some of these guys that are coming up after him, like Ryan Rollison and a few others that you add into the mix for the next 3 or 4 years. And even if you're not good next year, by the time you've revitalized your farm system, whatever you get for Story, you know, whatever you can sign in free agency, because they have no money allocated to anybody next year, so they can just go buy whoever they want. You pair that with this starting rotation that, as you correctly stated, Brady, is the best in the history of the team. So leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Build around that. I mean, it's like we talk about in football. Without a quarterback, great, you can have all the pass rushers and all the running backs and all the wide receivers in the land, but if it's Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him, then good luck. And if it's Aaron Rodgers, different story. But you can spend all the money on great shortstops, and those are amazing. Those are going to win you sometimes. You know, they're going to have some amazing moments. But at the end of the day, if you don't have consistent pitching, you can't get there, and you certainly can't win in the playoffs. All right, so Trevor Story, would that were they looking for the bullpen there, right? They'd be looking to bolster up the bullpen with that kind of move?
Well, I think what they really should be doing is kind of targeting a couple of different areas. So I don't think you're going to pry anyone's top prospect away. So, yeah, you grab a reliever, you grab an outfielder, maybe a guy who's got like an extremely great defensive profile because you need great defenders to cover all that outfield space. Maybe you do find a project of a bat in there, but that's what I'd be doing, trying to get 3 or 4 guys who are relatively close to the big leagues, maybe none of whom wow the fans as like, oh man, they got that guy, but all of whom are going to be solid contributors within the next couple of years. And yeah, you've got to, whether it's acquiring an actual reliever or acquiring another starter, and that means that in the long run, whoever, you know, loses out ends up in the bullpen. That's another way to go too. I've always been kind of a fan of the idea of Antonio Senzatella in the bullpen. He's been about league average for most of his career. I thought he was getting better there, maybe not, but he's discovered better stuff. Maybe you maximize his value in the bullpen if you acquire another starter, so you can kind of kill 2 birds with 1 stone that way.
Yeah, just moving the pieces around, see what sticks. Drew, this will be interesting. You're on the road, like you said, winnable series here, and you got, 6 games before the All-Star break, and maybe our poll question today is, how will the season end? Will this team be like 10-plus under 500? Will they be floating around 500? I guess if they find a way to finish 5 games under 500 or so, you retweeted this, I retweeted it. Does this have a bigger question mark around this organization going forward as far as, okay, well, maybe this was good. We're going to keep going as is. Or like you retweeted and said, it doesn't matter if they lose 100 or if they lose 80. Whatever's going to happen is already in play.
That's exactly right, Brady. I really don't think it matters how many games the Rockies win or lose this year, except for where the draft pick is going to be. Beyond that, like, in a lot of other situations, I would get where people are coming from, but the team doesn't have a general manager right now, or there's an interim GM, and you know, a few other pieces of stuff. They got to hire a new GM. They've already said they're going outside the organization to do that. They got other positions to fill, and as I mentioned, they have like almost none of their money allocated, with Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado coming off the books. And I know people like to believe that Dick Monfort's super-duper cheap, even though that's never actually been the case with the payrolls. He's not just going to not sign anybody. That's just not how anything works. So the idea that even if the Rockies wanted to take surprise success as an excuse to do nothing this offseason isn't even an option. They've got to hire a new permanent GM. That guy's going to staff his office with people, and then that guy's going to decide, or gal, I should say, because Kim Ng's doing fantastic work in Miami. But it's just like, whoever takes over that job, then they're going to start signing people because there's nothing on the books. They're not going to run out there with a payroll of $30 million for the entire team.
Right, right.
It's just not, that's not realistic.
There's going to be major moves at some point, sure. Drew, what are you working on, man? We got a little bit of time left. What do you got for us? I know we can check out your podcast, your blogs, everything. You're rocking it.
Yeah, hey, appreciate that. Just did a big thing on Marquez's no-hitter and questioning, or almost no-hitter, and questioning whether or not it was really and truly the best pitched game in the history of the Rockies. And I've got a big thing coming up on Austin Gomber and about why it, other than just the hot month, that everything in his profile suggests that he really can be a key piece for the Rockies moving forward, that they've got the right guy to be more than what he was projected to be. A lot of it having to do with things like fastball spin rate and those kinds of fun technical details the baseball people love to dive into sometimes. But I can't wait to see him get back out there and pitch a bit more, because I've been very, very intrigued. He may just have the perfect mix of everything you need to be successful as a Rockies pitcher.
I love it, Drew. Keep up the great work, my friend. Always look forward to it in these conversations. And who knows? Maybe the Rockies put on a decent road trip here and before the All-Star break, and at least leave us with a lot of interesting thoughts during the break.
You never know.
Drew, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, Drew Kreisman, Rockies insider. Love it. DNVR Rockies. Rockies got Arizona and San Diego the next six games before the break. How will it unfold? Colfax is very optimistic over there, by the way. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got game one of the finals tonight. Colfax and I are in an interesting spot in our picks. We'll talk about it next.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.